cheer each other on, and amazing things our kids are doing. I heard a common theme. There's a lot of education majors. Just say, I'm sorry. I live with a house full of educators, and it's definitely a calling, and so we'll be praying for them. Appreciate you guys. Hey, we're excited you're here. Why don't we do this? You guys are nice and settled in and getting cozy and comfortable, so stand up for me, and let's just shake that off a little bit. Here's what I want you to do. Like, say hi to at least three people around you, and maybe shake their hands. If you're into that, high five them if you're into that. To stretch a little bit, get the blood flowing a little bit, you know. That'll be helpful for me. That's right. Stretch it out. You know, I need you guys awake for this next part. Amen. 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 All right. After you do that, you can be seated. I knew I was taking a chance letting you guys free. So, hey, this morning we're going to jump right into it. What we're doing today is we're going to wrap up. We've been in a series about promises, and so we're going to wrap that up today. And so just to reflect on where we've been and just the importance of what we're doing is we've been looking at the promises of God. And when you say promises of God, it sounds maybe a little still out there. But when you say these promises are for you, let's make it more personal. Because these promises are for you and I. And so often we'll read one of the promises in our daily devotions, or we're just Bible reading, and we read one, and oh, that's cool. We don't give it much thought, right? We don't give much consideration. We don't dwell on it. We don't think of it. We don't certainly pray it back to the Lord. And so what I want to challenge us with, hopefully you saw throughout this series, is a challenge with, these are words for you. These are words for me. When all else fails, this doesn't fail. When all else fails, you're left with the promises of God. And that's something you can stand on if you realize the power behind them. And so if you've been with us, we started Easter. It's actually when we kicked this thing off. We started Easter with one of the best promises you find in the Bible, John 3:16. Right? Everybody knows, everybody loves it. For God so loved the world. Right? For God so loved you, right? And so we saw that. We saw the story of John, the disciple, how John had one of the coolest nicknames ever, the Son of Thunder. Sons of Thunder, him and his brother were called the Sons of Thunder. I mean, if that's not a wrestling name, I don't know what is, but it was a cool name, right? And we saw that as more John walked with Jesus, he went from Sons of Thunder to the one whom Jesus loved. And so the promise for you and I, John 16, for he so loved the world, he loves you. You're the one. And then we went to John chapter 10. We saw verses 2 to 3 where the Lord gives us this analogy of the shepherd and sheep. How the sheep knows the shepherd's voice. And how we see the promise of the Lord still speaks to you and I. And so that was an amazing time. Then we went to Matthew 28:20. This is probably one of my favorite ones. It's part of the Great Commission. And we hear the Great Commission all the time, but sometimes we don't make it all the way to verse 20. And when you get to verse 20, it says, where I am with you always. I mean, isn't that a great promise? I am with you always. So no matter what's going on in your life, you have that promise to stand on. Even when you feel like your world is falling apart, you know what you do? Open up your Bible and say, Lord, you said, you're with me always. That's a powerful promise. And then last week, we went to John chapter 14, verse 27. He says, peace I leave, but not just any peace. He said, I leave you my peace. All these are wonderful promises of God. And so today, we're going to kind of wrap up, and I want to encourage you to search out more promises. That doesn't even scratch the surface of promises we find in this book. I would encourage you, maybe start journaling. And as you read, as you're doing your daily devotions, as you're reading, you see a verse that's a promise, I would say write it out. Write it out. We were challenged recently And I love the challenge. Recently, we went to this leadership conference deal. The minister's talking to us. And he said he shows a scripture where the king in the Old Testament, the king would become king. And one of the things he had to do is he had to carry around scrolls. Everywhere he went, he had to carry around scrolls. And part of his job as a king is he had to look at the old scrolls. He had to write down, he basically had to rewrite the scriptures. That was his job. He would look at the written scrolls, and he would start his own scroll and rewrite scripture. Day after day, this is what he did. Part of his duties was rewrite scripture. And how impactful would that be if we start, I'm getting on, I'm way off here, but rewriting scripture. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, what a great learning device, right? We sit down and we start, you know what? I'm going to write out the book of James. So you read a couple, you write a couple. You read a couple, you write. I mean, that's powerful. And the Word of God gets in us. And that's what I'm saying. If you keep your prayer journal, and every time you come across one of these promises, start writing it down. Because one of these days, you're going to need those promises, and you want to know where they're at, and so you go start praying them back to the Lord. And so I'll get off that. But I want to end this series with a very powerful scripture found in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Look at this. It says, for all the promises of God, I love that, all of them, not just the ones you know, not just the Sunday school version ones. It says all the promises of God find their yes in Him. They're talking about Jesus. But isn't that a powerful verse? All the promises that God said finds them in Jesus. You know, our society has a weird relationship with the word promise, doesn't it? Like, I think we all define it the same, though, if we think about it. We define a promise as a declaration by one person to another person that something will or won't be done, right? We kind of all agree with that. But then when it actually comes to keeping our promises, that's kind of when the wheels fall off, doesn't it? I mean, I can memorize younger. When you're younger, didn't you try to find every loophole in the promises that you could? Like when you had a curfew and you stayed out a little late, you got home and they're like, well, you passed your curfew. Well, I didn't promise. You know, you're trying to find loopholes, right? Or you promised you're going to clean your bedroom up. I promise, Mom, Dad, I'm going to clean up. Okay. You come back, your bedroom's not cleaned up. Like, you promise. Yeah, but, you know, I got busy doing homework. You think that's justifiable, right? And so we're trying to find these loopholes. Or maybe your wife fixed your breakfast, fixed the family breakfast, and you're sneaking a couple pieces of the bacon. You say, I promise I'm not going to eat all the bacon. You end up eating all the bacon. Technically, it wasn't your fault because she cooked it so good, but still, you promised you weren't going to eat all the bacon. But we always try to find ways out, don't we? We always try, even maybe some of you guys recently made a contractual promise with maybe a credit card company or a bank, a loan company or something, saying you're going to do this, you promise to do this. We even try to find ways out of that, don't we? Don't get me started on the student payback stuff, student loan payback. I'm like, bro, you signed a contract. Anyways, I won't get on that soapbox. But these promises, right? And so because of the promises that we interact with every day, because we understand that when somebody makes us a promise, we're like, yeah, you know, it's 50-50 whether they're going to come through with that. So this truth is we live in this world filled with broken promises. People fail us, circumstances change, expectations are often unmet, and so we're used to this behavior. But I think what we do so many times is we're used to this behavior of broken promises that we carry that behavior into our relationship with God. And so we're saying, I hear you, Pastor, but listen, you said Jesus is always with me, but this last week I did not feel like it. You know, Pastor, you said Jesus is always with me, but man, when I got the phone call from the doctor after I got the report, Jesus was not with me during that. And so it's like we take that behavior, that what we know, because we know people fail us, people hurt us, and so we apply that to God. And I wanted to remind us of 2 Corinthians 1:20. It says, for all the promises of God are in Him, yes, and in Him, amen. And the one thing we can stand on with complete confidence, God always keeps his promises. The promises of God are not wishful thinking. They're not empty words. They're declarations from a faithful God who cannot lie, who cannot fail, and who never changes. When everything around us feels uncertain, these promises of God are like an anchor for us, like an anchor for our souls. And then, so how do we have confidence in the promises of God? Well, the first place we need to start is that the promises are rooted in God's character. Okay, so look, this is one of my favorite, I got a lot of favorite verses. This is one of the top ones. Numbers 23:19. Look at it. This is a New Living Translation. God is not a man, so he does not lie. Right out the bat, he's establishing a difference so we don't take our preconceived idea of what men do. They let us down, they fail us, they stab us back. We don't take that with God because God's not a man. So you say, I'm different. He does not lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. I love that one. We'll get to that one in a little bit. He doesn't change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? I'm telling you, we could stay there a long time. What he's saying is God's trustworthy. His promises are trustworthy because God himself is trustworthy. What is the character of God? Well, he's holy, he's merciful, he's compassionate, he's just. Listen, we're used to people breaking their words because of weakness. Sometimes they break their word because of forgetfulness, right? You tell your wife, I promise I'll get to that. How many lines? Yeah, right? We never get to it. And again, we're not trying to be mean as husbands. We just forget that we said we'd get to it, right? And so it's not malicious. We just forget. And so sometimes we just simply forget. Sometimes we have changing emotions. We don't want to do it. But what do we know about God, about his character? We know he's faithful. We know he's unchanging. We know he's all-powerful. We know he's true. And we know that God's character is revealed in Jesus. And so like Numbers says, every promise of God is secured in Christ, representing his commitment and purpose rather than a maybe that's going to happen. Listen, we need to understand, if we're gonna build a foundation on these promises of God, we need to understand that his promises are not based on human ability, but on divine character. They're based on who he is. Let me show you a great story that proves this point. We find it in Genesis 12, verses 1 and 3. This story of Abraham, and when Abraham gets this awesome promise from God that he's going to be the father of all nations, right? So in Genesis verses 1 through 3, it says, Now the Lord said to Abram, Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you'll be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of earth shall be blessed. Okay, so God promises that this childless Abraham would be a father to a great nation. That he'd be blessed, they'd have a great legacy, and all the families of earth would be blessed through him. Okay, so then we get to Genesis chapter 15. God expands on the promise Abraham would be the father of a nation, telling him he would produce an heir from his own body. That this old man is going to have a biological child, and all of his descendants are going to outnumber the stars in the sky. And then we get to Genesis 15:6, and it's probably one of the most key verses in all the Bible. Look at it. It says, And he believed the Lord, Abraham. Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him as righteousness. Okay? This is very important. Abraham believed what? Abraham believed God's promise. He believed him. He believed that God would do what he had promised. He had faith in God, that he would keep his commitment to him. And so because of that faith, it says the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Okay? In other words, God justified Abraham. He declared Abraham to be acceptable to him, based entirely on Abraham's faith in God. Not based on anything Abraham would or ever could do, just Abraham's faith. He had faith in a promise. And then what happened? This is crazy. Abraham faith in this promise, and it didn't happen for years. This promise took years. Come on, how many in here, God's promised you something, has been a little bit? And since it's been a little bit, you start to have doubts. Abraham waited years and years and years for a promise of a son. But God fulfilled exactly what he said he was going to fulfill. Listen, that delay did not cancel the promise. Sometimes we confuse a delay with denial. But that's not the way God moves. God promised it, God's going to deliver. If God promised you something, and it's been a year, it's been 2 years, it's been 3 years, it could have been 5 years. For the children of Israel, it was over 430 years before their promise came true. It could be a lot of years. But God will come through on what he promised. Listen, God's timing doesn't diminish his faithfulness. It doesn't diminish his character. Don't forget who he is. Listen, if we follow the promise of God that God made to Abraham, if we follow that out, what we discover is that Jesus, the seed of Abraham, that's who God was promising was going to come through all this. That he's the ultimate fulfillment of God's promise of blessing for the nations. And this is one of the many things that makes God different from us. He never breaks his promise. All the promises are what? Yes and amen. One of the reasons we have the Old Testament is to remind us that God is a promise keeper. He kept his promise to miraculously provide Abraham and Sarah a son, even in their old age. He kept the promise to rescue the people of children from Israel, of Israel from slavery in Egypt. He kept a promise to David to establish David's kingdom forever as a promise that fulfilled King Jesus. He kept his promise to the people of Israel to bless them when they were faithful and obedient to him. He also kept the promise to chastise them when they were unfaithful and disobedient. The entire Old Testament proves to you that God's character is a promise keeper. And it's because we know God keeps his promises that we can keep our faith in him through Jesus Christ. This is how you know he's going to keep his promise. This is how you know when you read one of these promises like we've been going through, that you can hold on to it and know that he will keep his promise. He's faithful even when we're not. If he said it, it will be done. He said what? I will never leave you, forsake you. He's always talking to Joshua in the Old Testament. It's a promise. It's a promise. He made the same promise to you and I. I will be with you always. He didn't say he's going to change Joshua's circumstances. He didn't promise to change yours, mine, or anybody else's. He promised he'd be with us. He was in the boat when the seas came roaring, didn't he? He didn't say it's not going to be smooth sailing. He said, I'll be in the boat with you. We confuse so many things in our life because the enemy comes in and says, one, did God really say that? Oh, if God said that, you wouldn't be struggling right now. If God said that, you wouldn't be in a trial right now. If God really said that, you wouldn't be hurting right now. And so we start confusing it. And we're like, well, you know, I didn't feel you yesterday. Abraham had faith. And God kept his promise. Again, it's not about the feeling. It's about what we know to be true. What do you know to be true? Remember last week we talked about, this is what we know. We think on what is true. What is true? Not what is the enemy telling you right now. What is true? Not the seeds of doubt the enemy's planting in your head right now. What is true? And that's what we find in the Word of God. What he promises, he'll use whatever circumstance we face to make his people more like Jesus. What he promises, he causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. That's what he promised. He promises that nothing, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things of present, nor things that come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other created thing can separate us from his love. That's what is true. That's what he promised to us. Listen, I know some of you are struggling right now with some hard things. I know some of you might be wondering where to find hope in the midst of all this overwhelming circumstances. We stand on the promises of God. I want to encourage you to find hope in Jesus and his faithfulness as a promise keeper. I want to encourage you in the midst of your circumstances to go to God, claim these promises as your own, confident in his very nature that he's the one who keeps his promises. Listen, some of you might have this devotional book at home. It's a great one if you don't have it. It's like a classic standard. It's Morning and Evening Devotions with Charles Spurgeon. So Charles Spurgeon is a great preacher. Was a great preacher. You know, it's an old book, and he uses like King James Version. I'm going to read a little bit to you. But he writes this one devotion. I love it. It says this. It says, faith lays hold upon the promise of pardon, and it does not delay, saying, this is a precious promise. I wonder if it be true. But it goes straight to the throne with it and pleads, Lord, here is the promise. Do as thou hast said. Love that. Here's the promise, Lord. Do as thou hast said. King David, he remembered God's promise to establish his kingdom and throne forever. And so David prayed. David went to the altar and said, Lord, do as thou hast said. And what Spurgeon says in this devotional is that we are to say the same thing. And we turn to Jesus in faith. When you look to God and say, Lord, I trust you. Now you forgive me, you redeem me. I'm marked by the blood of Christ. I'm a new creation. You gave me eternal life. But it gets better. For those of us who've been adopted in the family of God through faith in Jesus, do the same thing that you promised. Lord, do as thou hast said. As Spurgeon goes on to focus his rest of his devotion on that thought, he says, our heavenly banker delights to cash his own notes. Never let the promise rust. Draw the word of promise out of its scarab and use it with holy violence. Think not that God will be troubled by your urgently reminding him of his promises. He loves to hear the loud outcries of needy souls. It is his delight to bestow favor. He is ready to hear. He is more ready to hear than you are to ask. The sun is not weary of shining, nor the fountain of flowing. It is God's nature to keep his promises. Therefore, go at once to the throne and say, do as thou hast said. Listen, promise of salvation by grace and faith has never been nullified. God has declared Abraham righteous because of faith. He still justified followers of Jesus because of their faith. He's never broken that promise and never will. Likewise, he won't break his promise to be with you through whatever circumstance you're going through right now. Nor he break his promise to love those who've given their life to Jesus as his sons and daughters. Listen, I understand we have a hard time trusting people. Okay, people let us down. People break their promises all the time. People are unfaithful all the time. But God is faithful. God is good always. And you can trust his promises completely. Whatever you're going through right now, let me encourage you. Trust God's promises. Trust that he'll keep his word. Trust that he will help you. And pray those promises over yourself when you're wondering where God is in the midst of your trial. Go to Matthew 28, verse 20 and say, God, you said, thou hast said. You don't have to use King James Version, but you said, you will be with me always. And we start praying these back to God. Because this is what it's for. We were made to be in fellowship with God. But of course, our sin broke that fellowship. I want the worship team to come back. So our sin broke the fellowship. So God sent Jesus to live on earth as a man. He lived a sinless life to show us how perfect obedience to the Father looked like. He gave himself as a sacrifice on the cross, taking our sins upon him, taking my sins, your sins, all of our sins upon him. He took our punishment so that all of us who turn to him in faith can be reconciled to God. That's the most important promise he's made to us. Because of that, it's all available to you and I. And so will you lay hold to the promises of God today? Will you trust Jesus as a promise keeper? Will you give your life to Him as a promise keeper? Listen, the ultimate proof that God is a promise keeper is the cross. It's a promise He made way back when. It's a promise that Jesus fulfilled on the cross. I want to leave you guys with Numbers 23:19. I'll read it again. God is not a man, so He does not lie. He is not human, so He does not change His mind. Has He ever spoken and failed to act? Has He ever promised and not carried through with it? The answer is no. No. Some of you need to put this verse where you'll see it every day. And you need to be reminded, when has He ever failed to keep His promise? Because I can't find it in this book. Over 1,000 some odd promises, I can't find one He failed. So in your life right now, what do you need? Why don't you stand with us this morning? Hopefully by now you're getting the point. These promises are for you. These promises are in your time of need. These promises are when you're struggling. These promises are when the enemy has you confused. The promises are for you and I right now. Can I just tell you, it's hard to stand on a promise you don't know. It's hard to stand on a promise you don't know, you haven't heard about. That's what I'm saying. When you start reading and you start finding, write the promise down. Because one of these days, you're going to have to go to it and you're going to say, Lord, Thou hast said. Those days when you pray and you feel like, what am I even doing? Like, I've messed up so bad that He doesn't hear me. Those days you're praying and you feel nothing. It's just silence. You're like, I screwed up too much. Those days you need to go back and find out that He said He is a shepherd, you're a sheep, you're going to know His voice. Lord, You said You're going to speak to me. Those days you get that phone call from the doctor and say, yeah, this is wrong. Yeah, this doesn't look good. And you're dealing with this. Those are days you're going to have to go back to that, Lord, You said You're going to be with me always. I need You right now. Those days you're tempted to start planting these seeds of, oh, I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not this, I'm not that. Those are days you need to go back to the Word of God where it says, I am His craftsmanship. That just gives us a picture of a craftsman just delicately putting things together and piecing a beautiful masterpiece together. There's a lot of thought that goes in that masterpiece. There's time and concentration goes in that masterpiece. It doesn't just happen. And so what it's saying, the Lord created this masterpiece in you. Okay, so stop sowing those seeds of doubt. Take that. Lord, Thou hast said, even if I don't believe it right now, Thou hast said, I'm a masterpiece. Trying to discover new ways every day to get in here, get you confused, get you hurting, get you doubting. That's why these promises are so important and so powerful. Because you're going to get them and you're going to stand on them. Love that scripture says, when you've done all you know to do, stand. This morning, this is how I want to end our series on promises. The worship team is going to lead us in this song. And would you commit to God today? You're going to stand on the promises. Would you commit to Him right now, however that looks for you, that you you're going to pray these promises back to Him. That you're going to search out promises. And you're going to pray them back to Him. So next time you start hurting tomorrow morning, when you start doubting whether this was any of this real or not, you stand on these promises. You start plastering these promises all over. Put them on the fridge, put them on your phone, put them in your car. Because you're going to commit to standing on the promise. You're going to commit that these aren't just some cute Bible stories. These are powerful promises from the Creator of everything here. We're going to stand on those. So as they sing, you can stand, lift your hands. You can come down front. If you're really old school, I grew up, and you kneel at your chair. That's a little hard sometimes, but you can do that if you want. Whatever it looks for you. As they sing this beautiful song, we're going to worship the Lord. And with every heart in here, just commit. Lord, I'm going to trust your promises. I'm going to trust your promises. I'm going to trust your promises. I'm going to listen to your promises and not the lies of the enemy. Would you commit that as we start singing this one?